Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, looking for love, as anyone can tell you, will be tricky, and add disability to the equation, it can sometimes seem almost impossible. But over the last few years, The Undateables, that programme on Channel 4 you might have seen, has followed the series of several extraordinary singletons in pursuit of love. So on next week's episode, we will catch up with Brent, and Brent has Tourette's syndrome. The episode is entitled Two Weddings and a Baby. So who has the weddings is the question, and who has the babies? Well, we're going to say good morning for starters to Brent, Brent Zillwood. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning. Hello, how are you?
Nice to talk to you this morning.
Yes, lovely to speak to you too.
You have you were diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome at what age?
16, but I've had Tourette's since I was 15.
And when you were diagnosed, did you see the diagnosis coming, or did you have a sense that this was going to be happening?
Well, like I said, I was suffering with it for a year, undiagnosed. So when I did finally get the diagnosis, it was kind of a relief to know that it's got a name, people know what it is. Mm. It's just a shame that the doctors didn't know enough about it.
At the time.
Didn't really help.
Yeah. Well, what is it? What is Tourette's?
It's a neurological disorder that's hereditary, and it consists of motor tics and vocal twitches, and in some rare cases, swearing and expletives.
Right. And, of course, that's what it's most known for, rightly or wrongly. That's what people, I suppose, refer to.
Fortunately, it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's what everybody knows it as.
But is that a pain in the neck for you?
Well, it's a big misconception that everybody with Tourette's swears, because only 10% of people with Tourette's actually swear, and only 5% of those 10 take it on into adulthood.
Right.
But it's what makes it popular, I suppose. It's that part.
Yeah, it makes it, I suppose, accessible for all the wrong reasons in that regard. But look, at least we're talking to you today, we can kind of break that down a little bit.
What I hope to do.
Sure, yeah, I can understand that. So what age can you have Tourette's at, as a child, I wonder? Do you know that?
Oh, honestly, Tourette's doesn't discriminate on age. You can have Tourette's from the ages of, like, 8 months old to the ages of 50, and be diagnosed at either one of those times.
Which is funny, because in my ignorance, I was watching a programme the other day. It was The Voice, I think, UK. There was a fella on who had Tourette's.
Oh, Tom Carpenter, yeah.
Did you see him? You saw him, did you? You know him?
Yeah, I've met him. I did a Q&A with him back in Frome in Somerset.
Ah.
And he was trying to break the stigma as well about Tourette's always being the swearing disease.
Yeah.
And, that's just the tip of the iceberg, and there's so much more to do with Tourette's.
Well, as I was watching it with my 10-year-old daughter, I was trying to explain Tourette's, and of course, in my ignorance, I was saying it's people, and they shout things out, and oftentimes they shout curse words. And she said, well, how can a child shout curse words if they don't know them? And I thought, what a clever question.
That is a good question, because a lot of people have asked me that, and kids don't usually start shouting words they've never heard before. It's not like they're speaking in tongues in a foreign language. It's more about, like, for example, if I was brought up to know that, biscuit or jammy dodger was a curse word and you shouldn't say it,
yeah,
I'd probably be twitching that when I get anxious. A lot of young kids who don't know swear words will be making noises and vocal tics or echolalia, where they shout back what you've already said. So the part of swearing and Tourette's is something that usually comes on, when you get to the age where you're exposed to bad language and things like that.
Okay, that's an intriguing insight into where that all comes from. But we'll move on from that to tell us a bit about the Undateables program. For those who haven't seen it, can you define it for us, Brent?
Undateables is a TV show, basically, where They categorise people with, disabilities or impairments that the public deem as undateable. And these people go on there and try and, break that stigma and prove them wrong that, everybody who thinks undateable are just as dateable as anybody else, who's able-bodied.
The people will, of course, as we all love to take on board other people's causes, and say to call a program Undateables is very cruel.
I think this is the smart thing that they do with TV, is they like to begin a show with something that's going to make people angry and something that's very controversial, because when there's an uproar about it, people are going to watch it because they think it's so terrible. And then it's the hook. And then when they would watch it, they realize it actually twists the other way and they pull the rug from under their feet. And they actually, it's a much more stronger message then, because they're expecting one thing and they get given another thing, and then their mind completely changes.
Okay, so it's a kind of an eye-catching title, and one that you might think might be a bit mean, and then you go into it and you say, actually, there's a goodness to it.
Yeah, there's a lot more to it than just its title. You've got to watch the show, not just the adverts, you've got to actually watch the show as well.
Yeah, precisely. So how old are you, Brent?
I'm 23.
And why did you get involved in the programme?
Well, besides from looking for love and looking for the one, I see a lot of Tourette's in the television, and not really for the right reasons. It's been more kind of a comedy factor. Yeah. And obviously, yeah, the parts of Tourette's that I have can be funny at times. Mm-hmm. But I went on there to just prove that people with Tourette's can be funny, smart, intelligent, engaging, not just because of their Tourette's, but for themselves and their personality. And they can hold and have successful relationships.
So tell me about Chalice.
Chalice is my wife.
And how did you meet her?
Yes, and she's sitting right next to me now. She's 26, and we've been married.
What did she say, 25?
She put me on the spot because she's right next to me. Now, she's 26. She's absolutely lovely. She's very smart. She's taught me loads about myself that I didn't know and really brought me out of my shell within just a year, more than any doctor or anybody else could have.
How did you confront the Tourette's part of your life with her, with Chalice early on? Did you?
Within the second I saw her, like with any day, I mean, you lay your cards on the table and you'd be completely honest with anything. Even if you're just really nervous, you just state the fact that you're nervous, so it takes away any sort of awkwardness. Chalice didn't have much knowledge of Tourette's, but, you know, I told her a lot about it, and she was, you know, willing to understand it and accept it. And it was never a problem.
Does the Tourette's become a bit more pronounced if you're nervous?
Yeah, my Tourette's comes on a lot stronger if I'm nervous, or any sort of excitement or stress can really trigger it off.
So when you were about to propose to Chalice, like 6 months after your first date, did the Tourette's make its presence felt in her company with you together alone?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was always making its presence known. But just before the proposal, it was trying to propose a lot earlier than I had planned. So I was just trying to hold that in. And I was like, please don't give away the secret, Tourette's, because Tourette's doesn't keep secrets, because it knows you want to keep it secret and it just shouts them out.
No.
So the first time I told Chalice I loved her, I was scared of telling her, but I ended up twitching out, Brent loves you!
And that's what happened.
Yeah, it was a good reaction. She felt the same way.
Oh, thank God. And does it come out as that, as Brent loves you, as opposed to I love you?
See, sometimes Tourette's can speak in the third person. Sometimes it's kind of strange. So that's why sometimes it feels like it's another person, you know, following me around. You know, a lot of people say it's like a ghost or being haunted. It's just like having an annoying twin that you can't really see.
Because I noticed you referred to it as, you said, please Tourette's, not now.
It's just, causes a lot of problems. But then again, it also does push me to obsessively and compulsively concentrate on things such as anything creative, because that's what controls my Tourette's.
Okay.
And that's kind of really helped. My Tourette's has really helped me develop my creative side and my way of thinking when it comes to like filmmaking and editing.
Can I talk to your wife?
Yeah, sure.
I'd love to say hello.
Permission.
You have to hand on the phone. Chalice, good morning to you.
Good morning. You're right.
How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Were you just on with Lorraine?
We were. It was amazing.
She's a lovely lady from Scotland.
She is so nice.
Yeah, she is. And I hope she looked after you well, did she?
She definitely did.
Good, good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is all very exciting. Of course, you went to Vegas.
We did.
How was it?
It was an incredible experience. We'd never been before, so it was an insane adventure.
Yeah. And how did you... when you met Brent the first time and he said, okay, first things I need to tell you is I've got this thing called Tourette's. How were you on that? Were you familiar with it or did you know much about it?
Well, I didn't really know anything about Tourette's other than, you know, perhaps the way the media portrayed it.
Yep.
And then when I met him, he was so different to what I guess I thought Tourette's was, that it sort of broke down a lot of those preconceptions. And it just didn't bother me at all because, like Brent said to you, he just laid his cards on the table and told me from day one, and that was that.
And how do you feel with the eyes of the viewers on you on the Undateables? Are you comfortable with that, or do you find it a little unnerving or a little bit peculiar?
It's definitely scary.
Right.
Think you have to be quite brave to put yourself out there on TV because you kind of open yourself up for, you know, people to say mean things. But, you know, like I always say to Brent, it's for him, really, because he wants to raise awareness for Tourette's. So if it's, you know, good for the people with Tourette's, then we'll do it.
Good. And so it kind of makes sense in the end.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good. Well, look, I've got to say goodbye to you, but I just want to wish you both really well and continued happiness together.
Thank you so much.
Look after yourselves. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you, Brent and Chalice. And they're the first couple to marry from as a result of meeting on the programme, The Undateables. It's a programme that airs on Channel 4. So if you haven't seen it, it's probably worth having a look at. And there's a picture there in front of me. And they make for a very attractive couple, do they not? And a happy couple at that. So well done to them both. That's a sweet little story, that.